woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here as we move into September, the season of many things hunting. Man, looking forward to getting out, doing a little waterfowl hunting. We're starting to make our way towards that sacred time of October 1st for deer season in Michigan. And it's also strange. It's this year, I mean, look, last year was weird. This year really kind of takes the cake on the weird cycle for me personally, but hopefully it's not so weird for you. So, you know, that being said, you can get outdoors and socially distance yourself away from a lot of what's going on in the world and enjoy all of what Michigan has to offer, man, because we are coming up on that time, that just time to get out and do some hunting and fishing and just enjoy yourself, on more of the solo level that I enjoy so much. Being brought to you today by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, notjustguns.com, and look for their Wednesday night auctions big time on auction night. Also, our friends at Conquest Sense and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan helping us out here. The truth about CWD is what they've been working on, and find all that information on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast absolutely free there as well. And we're going to start out with a good friend of ours, Richard P. Smith, noted outdoor author, award-winning videographer, and photographer, joining us here. He is on the road with books. But, Richard, you are a man that's always busy, whether it's photography, videotaping, doing the book tour, and now you find yourself in the legal realm. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Hey.
Doing well. It's good to have you here. We've got you here earlier than normal. Mm-hmm. But there's some legal wranglings going on here in Lansing where we are, because it seems that there are some issues with the upcoming deer season that the NRC have voted on, and they're kind of ignoring some rules, if you will.
Well, yeah, the Department of Natural Resources made recommendations for three badly needed changes to deer hunting regulations in the Upper Peninsula, which would put hunting regulations in the UP on par with those in the rest of the state, and it's long overdue. One of those recommendations to make one buck tag on combination license unrestricted, like they were prior to 2008, to make antlerless deer legal throughout the UP for bow hunters, as they were prior to 2015, and to make crossbows legal for UP hunters during the late archery season in December, like they are already in the rest of the state. The DNR Wildlife Division made these recommendations based on the best available science, and they would better manage the deer population in the UP to allow hunters to take some of the surplus before our notoriously severe winters occur, with higher hunter harvests, the fewer deer will remain to starve, die during a slow death during the winter. But the Natural Resources Commission rejected those three recommendations, and they want to continue managing UP deer by letting winters manage the population rather than hunters.
Now, in the grand scheme of things, to me, Richard, that doesn't make a lot of sense to not let hunters benefit from a harvest and to let the wildlife suffer when food's at its scarcest point throughout the course of the year. Sound science that's available to all is what they are supposed to be basing their decision on, and it seems to me they are not doing that.
That's correct. They are not and have not. And that's why I organized a group called Deer Hunters for Responsible UP Deer Management, and have filed legal action to try and challenge those recommendations by the Natural Resources Commission. In other words, appeal those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Richard P. Smith is our guest. He's a noted author and a good friend of the show here. RichardPSmith.com. You can find all this information on the blog on his website. Richard, it seems... look, I know it used to be back in the day, everybody traveled north to go deer hunting. A lot of them crossed the bridge. Things have changed a lot over the course of those years with the harvest and everything else. And when I look at these rules, I guess the biggest one I'm having the biggest concern about is, why are you not letting crossbows in the late bow season? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. However, there is a perception among some hunters that remains that crossbows are far more effective at harvesting deer than vertical bows, which in fact is not true. The Department of Natural Resources has data that shows the harvest success with crossbows is not much different than vertical bows. But the commission ignored that information.
Rich, we've gone over this time and time again. Look, initially, I'll admit it, I had an issue with crossbows coming in because I was a vertical archery hunter. And of course, it's like the traditional guys had a problem with us coming in with the wheels on our bows. Mm-hmm. You know, we all kind of have to get along in this thing. And like you said, they are not as effective as the vertical bows are. I mean, we have a lot more advantages, and those thinking that, you know, you can take a 100-yard shot with a crossbow are clearly misinformed.
Those are exaggerations.
Absolutely.
They're not realistic under hunting circumstances. The bottom line is that the Natural Resources Commission, a different Natural Resources Commission than exists now, adopted regulations allowing crossbows during archery seasons to allow older hunters like myself to continue hunting who could no longer hunt with their vertical bows. That holds true in most of the state except the Upper Peninsula. Yet we're being discriminated against in the Upper Peninsula unjustly.
Yeah, I don't understand. I know the UP's always been kind of they like things, you know, their way as opposed to a lot of what happens in Lansing. But when it comes to hunting, this is not making any sense to me. And I'm glad that you are bringing this to the attention of people around the state via this show.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, since these restrictive regulations were adopted in 2008, making both buck tags restricted in the UP, we've lost over 100,000 bucks during the winters in the UP that hunters could have and should have harvested. By retaining these regulations, the number of deer that died during the winter that hunters should have harvested is going to continue to pile up, which is terrible management.
It is, and some better decisions have to be made. I mean, the science is there, and all things considered, you know, there is no reason for this to be happening with the NRC. And look, the NRC has done some great things, and there's been some times that I just look at the NRC and absolutely shake my head. That's why we need to attend these meetings when they have them, follow them, and give our opinion. I mean, if it matters, but still, you need to make it heard.
Yes, exactly. However, it's important to point out that I have participated in those meetings and provided written input to the commission since 2008, since these unnecessary regulations were adopted to try and get them to change. And I was very pleased when the Department of Natural Resources finally recommended the necessary changes, and to have the Natural Resources Commission shoot those recommendations down with no basis in biology is very disappointing.
Well, it's not surprising me for some reason, but that's a whole other topic in particular. Richard P. Smith is joining us. We're going to talk more because I've got questions about UP deer hunting, as I just got back from the UP myself. So hang on. We're going to talk more with Richard P. Smith. Find him online, richardpsmith.com, or via our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. So happy to have you here. Being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Scent. Stock up now on Scentfire or the Evercalm or the VS1 because, man, those things are going to fly off the shelves. If they haven't already, because they've been so busy filling orders for things that I would not be surprised if they're starting to fly off the shelves as we speak, as we are 1 month away. Don't wait. Don't wait to sight in your bow. Don't wait to sight in the crossbow or your firearm. Man, deer season is going to be here faster than you know. Don't be left with things hanging out in the wind, if you know what I'm saying. Going to get back to Richard P. Smith right now, our good friend up in lives in the Marquette area, but is on the road doing books. His many, many books that he has. A book tour when the roads are safe. Richard, what's wrong with you?
Well, prior to hunting season, excellent timing.
Actually, it is, and I want to go back to what we talked about in the first segment of this. I mean, you have litigation in Lansing to maybe make the NRC see things a little more clearly. Maybe a third party in this case will help them see things more clearly, but this is not without cost, and there is a GoFundMe page that is, you know, set aside for the legal fees that, you know, will help the UP hunters and those of us down here as well.
Right. The regulations are so restrictive that a lot of hunters who used to come to the UP from the Lower Peninsula are choosing not to because it reduces their chances of filling tags.
Yeah, again, man, this is why we bring this stuff to the forefront. And really need to bring it to light. And you guys have a GoFundMe page set up?
Yep. It's listed in the news release that's in my blog on my website. And if you've got a link to it on your Facebook page, and I've got it on my Facebook page too.
All right. We will, all that will be there for you to check out. And, you know, we'll have the link to Richard's blog as well so you can see exactly what's going on. Real quickly, I was up in the UP over the weekend. The first time this year, excuse me, I was in Traverse City. Then I headed over to Petoskey to see a good friend of mine. And then my wife and I decided, you know what, let's have a day and a half to ourselves. Let's go up to the UP and hang out. Mm-hmm. While we were up there, it's kind of strange because things in the UP, Richard, always progress weather-wise as far as, you know, the leaves change faster and things like that. Everything kind of progresses faster than down here.
Right.
And we actually happen to see a buck, about a 2.5-year-old buck, not too far from the road. Richard, he was already in like that nice brown color, and you could see the velvet really starting to, you know, get to that point where it's going to start coming off. And down here, everything's still like bright red, beautiful colors. What am I missing? I mean,
well, because of the northern latitude, our deer start shedding their summer coats in late August, early September. And of course, that first week in September is prime time for bucks to shed the velvet from their antlers.
It's just, you know, I mean, is it that north of the 45th parallel thing that that came to mind when we were looking at that?
Right. And the older the bucks are, the older the bucks and does, the sooner they seem to shed their summer coats as well.
It was really interesting because I just happened to look, and I was really taken aback by the whole thing because I'm so used to seeing red, you know, that beautiful, rich red color that they turn in the summertime. And this is like, it was like fall just slapped me right in the face right there.
Yeah. September 1st.
Unbelievable. Richard P. Smith is our guest. His website, richardpsmith.com. We are starting the waterfowl seasons now, Richard. The bear seasons are getting underway. Of course, whitetail season is coming, and you are doing your book tour. Where are you at on the road?
Actually, I'm in Kalamazoo right now.
Oh, so you're really not far from me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's awesome. But now, how long will you be on the road with your books?
Well, we're heading back north today, so just one more day.
Okay. So again, and this picks up again in the winter time. Is it after Christmas or before?
Before Christmas, usually December is prime time. Everybody's looking for gifts, and excellent time to sell books as well as other things.
Now, normally we have seen you at the festivals in Imlay City, and I have not looked to see if they're doing that this year. I think they are.
They are. In fact, I will be there at Woods and Waters Weekend in Imlay City at the fairgrounds there on September 11th, 12th, I believe it is.
Okay.
Or 10th, 11th, and 12th. 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Yeah, that'd be the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
That's a great event, and you know, we had so many events last year that had canceled due to the COVID restrictions and whatnot. And but it looks like we are moving forward, you know, hell or high water this year, which I'm so glad to see.
Yes, me too. And everybody's anxious to get out and get back to things like they were prior to the pandemic, and it's great to see. I'm looking forward to that show, Woods and Waters Weekend.
How has that affected? I mean, how has this whole thing affected you? I mean, aside from the everyday routine things that we normally would do, I mean, you weren't able to really tour last year with the books.
It really did not have much of an impact on me. If anything, it gave me more time to spend in the outdoors, which was great.
No complaints here.
No. I spent probably more time in the outdoors this past year than I ever have, and that was the safest place to be.
Isn't that strange? You know, all this time we were told to go outside, and then we fight it for so long, but now it literally is the safest place to be.
And, exactly. And it was pleasing to see the increase in hunter numbers and hunting effort during that time period as well.
Richard, I really think that we had gotten away from a lot of the things we love so much. And then when we found that we actually had the time to do them, it really, I mean, look, good luck finding a boat right now. I mean, or even a car. I mean, so many things have changed because of supply and demand. But, you know, and even just all the things that we need to go out and enjoy ourselves have been scarce. But people are getting out.
Right. There's no shortage of books for the new hunters who want to learn more about it. They can look at my books.
Absolutely. And he's got such a wonderful library of books with great photography work. There's videos you can get, field judging black bears, which is a very important video. Believe me, it's helped me tremendously. And if you're new to bear hunting, this is definitely one that you will want for yourselves, because don't be that guy that comes back to camp with an 85-pound boo-boo. I've seen it. Okay.
Well, it happens. And certainly, as long as it's a legal bear, there's nothing wrong with shooting a small bear for your first one. That's how we all learn.
You know what? I wasn't picking on. I left his name out. But had he the video, he might have waited. But Richard, it's always great talking to you, man. Thank you so much. Our best to Lucy as well. Safe travels to you. And again, the GoFundMe will be on our Facebook page, and you can see the blog and all of the other great things he has to offer at richardpsmith.com. Richard, thank you again as always.
You're more than welcome. Enjoy your next trip to the UP in October.
I'm looking forward to it. Marquette is where I'll be. And we got more coming your way right here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time. Interstate 94, more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks so much to Joel Pitek from Fish Heads Sport Fishing Charters for joining us and giving us a bit of a walleye update. Still biting on the St. Clair River, doing a little bottom bouncing with crawler harnesses and a little vertical jigging, and doing good. Even though the sun's out, the water's a little clear, still catching a few fish. And we are going to talk to our good friend, the dear Professor Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense, makers of great products, you know, like Evercalm VS1, the Scent Fire, the Scrape Tool, the Scent Bomb, all kinds of great stuff. Right here in Davison, Michigan, small business at its finest. And you know, for those of you that are not within the... on the inside, if you will, of the outdoors world, of the hunting and fishing community, it's a very small industry when it comes to the producers of products. We go to these shows like ATA and SHOT. The shows look big, but there's very few people running companies like Conquest Sense. Doug Roberts, his wife Karen. Doug joins me right now. How are you, sir?
I am good, Duran. Doing good. It's spring and things are running.
And falling.
True. The fawns are falling and coming quick.
Man, oh man. It's, you know what? It's, here we go. This is to me where between now and September is a blur. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like for you.
We're expected to have about 130 fawns hit the ground.
Wow.
We've got about, 70, 80 bucks that are growing antlers. So it's kind of a wild time of the year, although it's supposed to be our off season or our slow time. It's farming. There is no slow time.
I was going to say,
it's kind of crazy.
Who in their right mind thinks you get a slow time?
We've already got the first cutting of hay off. It's been wild. You know, with a mild drought, it's just the weather's been dry enough and warm enough. So we're actually a little ahead of schedule on that stuff. So,
you know, I noticed that when we were out, you know, my in-laws live in a rural part near Mount Pleasant. And saw the first cutting a few weeks ago. I'm like, what? What did I miss here? But it's been that kind of year because we had that really hot spell. And, you know, I mean, antlers start growing. What we've learned from you, the growth starts as minute the old ones fall off.
Right. I mean, you got basically a two-week period, week and a half to two-week period where once those antlers drop off, you know, the open sore, of course, is scabbing over. And that's what starts the new velvet. So you really can start to see it within 2 weeks. So the process is going good. You know, again, as we talked in the past, I mean, nutritional intake, digestibility intake for a deer or any animal is based on the water moisture in the plants that they eat. And we're still doing okay. Even though we're in a mild drought, there's still moisture in all the plants. So antlers are growing well. Fawns are dropping everywhere. So be aware, does are running everywhere with their fawns. So be careful on the roads.
Yeah, especially that pre-dawn time and the dusk time. We've been, even late night, I mean, we had a full moon with wind the other night, and we were coming home kind of late from some work we had to do. And boy, we had a few, I mean, they were small. They were last year's deer. But, I mean, they were run 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You just wait for everybody to go. Then you inch forward and wait for that last lagger to come through.
Yep, the scared one. There's
right.
Always that scared one, the nervous one.
But
yeah,
fortunately,
for sure.
We made it. But I mean, right now, it's that time that, you know, like you said, antler growth is going on and fawns are coming out and they're going to start to being visible. And we have that rule, man. Keep the wild in the wild. Don't touch it. Mom knows where it's at.
Well, Duran, that's a huge one right now. Yesterday alone, you know, four people just in my little area contacted me and said, hey, we got a fawn in the backyard. Hey, we got a fawn. My dog just caught and brought up to me. You know, as long as fawns are curled up and laying down, they are perfectly fine. Mom will come and get them when the time is right. And the fawn finds this area. Even after mom leaves, once she's done, she runs off and allows the fawn to go find its bedding area. So you'll see a fawn up, maybe even blatting, calling for mom because it doesn't want her to leave. It wants more milk. The only time a fawn is in trouble, the only time, is if it's been on its feet for 3 to 4 hours crying and walking around. Then it's been abandoned. But other than that, the fawns have not been abandoned. Leave them alone. Mom will come back and get them when she needs to.
You know, I wish more people, just for that reason alone, just for that comment, listen to this show. Okay, I don't need to be heard. I don't need to be seen. That comment right there about a fawn being okay, that there's, especially if it's curled up, that there's no need to you know, rescue it, even though that's our instinct to do so.
Well, and again, you know, last year, for example, you know, I get a call from a bank and there's a fawn literally laying on the asphalt up against the side of the bank. Well, that fawn, obviously, it doesn't know where it's at or what it's doing. That one you have to pick up. Not that it's in trouble. Pick it up by the midsection around the rib cage. Keep it away from you. Don't hug it. Take it out to a wooded area and just lay it down. And mom, again, will find it by bleeding and talking to it, and they'll go off their way. So, you know, just be careful. Worst thing you can do is pick them up, hug them, snug them, you know, try to feed them, and then go, oh, maybe we better put it back. Now it's too late. You just killed that fawn because mom's not going to take it back. So leave them alone, and they'll take their course.
Doug Roberts, Conquest Sense, joining us here on Wild Michigan. Man, you know, it's like I know we go through this every year. It's like, I mean, we can almost repeat the same show, but we don't, because there's always something new and something different. And what we tell people also, Doug, is that not more times than not, mom sees you looking at her kid, at her fawn, more than you'll ever see her.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, moms always know the very small area that they put their fawns in. And now understand something. When they give birth, they'll give birth in a certain area. They'll clean them up. They'll, you know, get everything all set. They'll feed them really well. They'll let them rest. And then what she does is she gets them up and she puts them in different places. And that is so if a predator does find one, it doesn't find both. Or, you know, like we had triplets yesterday, or all three of them. But she knows where she has put them in the general areas, and she also knows her little cries. So she's very aware of what's going on. And if you're sitting there watching, or if you stay close and sit there and go, well, mom's not going to come until you back off. When it gets to a safe distance, she'll come and get that fawn, nurse it, and take it someplace else again. That's just the way nature works.
It just amazes me, man, every time. Doug Roberts with Conquest Sense. ConquestSense.com is where you can find him and their full line of products here. We get the information straight from the deer professor himself, Doug Roberts. And Doug, I mean, twins, triplets, how common is that in the wild?
Twins are extremely common. Once you have a mom, even single moms, first time moms can have twins. But once they've had a set of fawns, twins are the norm. I always say for every set of triplets you get, you'll have an older doe have a single. Yearling, first time moms, doe fawns that have now turned one, they're going to, you know, they get bred at 1.5. They have fawns at 2. They can have singles. Again, it depends on body size. Depends on the nutrition that they get and the wintering conditions that they've gone through, whether they'll absorb or whether they'll hold them and actually fawn them out. So nature is perfect in how it takes care of them and keeps the mom alive first, the fawns come second.
You know, with the winter we kind of had last year, we should have a pretty good bumper crop, I'm thinking.
we'll have an amazing fawn crop this year. You know, the downside is, the reality of it is that we lose about 60% of the fawn crop every year to some type of mortality prior to what we call weaning time, which is September. Mm-hmm. That's when mom basically stops nursing them. They're on solid food. If you just do the mathematics of what the DNR says we have for a deer herd, we're probably very fortunate that happens, because we'd be overrun with whitetail.
All right, Doug Roberts, our guest. We're going to talk more about whitetail in Michigan, the fawn crop, the antler growth, and all the other good stuff. Find them online, conquestsense.com. More coming your way here on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pull tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by United Deer Farmers of Michigan, UDFOM.com. Find them and find them at thetruthaboutcwd.com, as they are working very hard, not only on their own group of deer and wildlife here in the state of Michigan, but to help our own in the wild as well. Back to Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense. Doug, we talked a little bit about fawns in the first part of the segment, the first segment of our conversation, rather. But I want to turn it over to antler growth. It may have a little bit of a jump start with some of that hot weather, that warmer weather. And I've seen the Conquest Sense cam, and you've got some, I mean, I'm sorry. It looks like, you know, September already with some of your deer, but you've got some serious antler growth going on.
We really do. And honestly, you're exactly right. The warmer early season temps kind of kicked everything in gear. They still have a certain number of days within reason of what they're going to grow, but they seem to have started growing a little faster, a little sooner. The live cam that you're watching, that's a new buck we call Justice. And he was a beautiful 6x6 last year as a 2-year-old, but real spindly. And this year, if you watch it, he is coming out just super heavy. Now, he's got triple brow dines. I'm not real excited about that because, you know, I like clean. Mm-hmm. But the mass and he's going out. He's going to be a wide deer. He's a Bruce son. So I happened to see him the other day, and I don't like looking at my bucks. I just wish my life away when I look at him this time of year. But I happened to see him, and I was like, oh, my goodness, are you coming out heavy this year? So kind of exciting to see it, but now I'm wondering what's he going to end up being again. So I play mind games with myself, but the antler growth is good. As long as we keep getting rains and keep things growing and keep things lush, full of moisture in the plants, the antlers are going to grow extremely well this year.
You know, we started out warm and thick and green. Like you said, we've had a little bit of this this light drought going on. Hopefully, some more rain in the forecast. Not only for the deer, of course, but for the farming and just the general health of everything around us. But you know, this is when I need to grab my good friend Andy Provenzano, and he's a meteorologist and really has been really good about giving us the forecast for the next 3 months, for the next quarter. And but we've not done that yet. So, you know, how are you guys, you know, and because of restrictions and things here, I know food plots are an option, but, you know, supplementally within your confines, you are afforded a little bit different you know, way of doing things.
Well, absolutely. I mean, our deer have what we call a perfect world. I mean, they have 24/7 nutritional supplement, you know, in a pelleted form, which has the best of everything in it. Like even now we have a new colostrum booster that all of our breed pens have been on for a month. And they've proven it in the dairy, in the beef industry, even the poultry industry. And so now we're trying in the deer industry, you know, we got humic acid. There's so many things we're putting in to our formulas now that boost the nutrition plane. So they eat less, they get more out of it. Stress levels. There's no predators to worry about. So they just lay around, they eat, and genetically, of course, we have very, very good genetics. So we maximize the potential of those genetics, whether it be a doe or a buck, antlers or fawns. So it's kind of fun. I mean, that's why we're producing what we're producing. Some of those things can be transferred to the wild. Again, Michigan, no baiting, no feeding. So that really hurts. But food plots, there's still nutritional value in food plots. And so I encourage everyone to put those in if possible, because it definitely helps antler growth. It helps the nutritional plane for the does, nursing the fawns. That takes a lot of energy out of them. So the more you can give them, the better they'll do.
Doug Roberts, our guest here on Wild Michigan from Conquest Sense. Doug, I watched a video that you guys had shared, and it really kind of struck me. I thought about these things in the past, but it was in more regards to the fall hunting time where our selection process comes into play about maybe balancing the buck-to-doe ratio, about how hard a buck has to work to breed does and how hard he will work, rather, and what that does to him physically. And if we have a better ratio, that, you know, it's not as bad.
Well, you're right. So there's a number of things there, and that's actually a long topic. Let me try to condense this down. You want your older, better, mature bucks, genetically proven bucks, doing most of the breeding, if not all the breeding. So if you have a lot of does and you're way overpopulated, you have a lot of younger bucks, genetically inferior bucks, also breeding ones that those bucks can't get to. Plus you have the dominant does, the doe hierarchy that gets all out of whack. So the more you can cull your doe side, the better quality you have on your buck side. Now, the other thing that we found interesting over a 10-year study is that we have found 1-, 2-, and 3-year-old does genetically, for some reason, produce more buck fawns than their older counterparts. Your 4, 5, and up does produce more doe fawns. So it's from a management standpoint, very important that you shoot the old does out of your herd, not the young ones. And I hear a lot of people say, well, the young ones eat good. Well, the young ones also produce good, you know, and if they're on crop fields and they're on good food plot feed, that old doe tastes just the same as that young one. It's just a mindset of the hunter. Now, when you get to bucks, that's a different story. You take an old buck that's rutting compared to a young buck that's not rutting near as much. There's a huge difference in the flavor or the taste of the meat, but not so much on the doe side. So I encourage everyone, shoot the oldest does you can. The dominant does out, let their daughters become dominant, but they're genetically better. So you'll improve the genetic quality of your deer herd just by doing that.
I know it was kind of a sideways question this early in the year, but as we plant seeds this time of year, I thought maybe we take a chance and get that little bit of information out there as to maybe, you know, start some thinking in that manner. Because, look, there's a lot of, you know, arguments out there. You know, I can't eat the antlers. The smaller ones taste better. I mean, there's a lot of things involved. But if you are of the mindset where you like taste and maybe you like antlers as well, that there's a way to do it. You can balance these things.
Well, the hunters are the best managers of the deer herd. And you can say we can leave that up to the DNR. The bottom line is the DNR can't do it. They can simply give us the tools or give us the regulations and guidelines by which to do that, with antler point restriction, doe permits, whatever. But ultimately, we are the best managers of the deer herd within the area that we hunt. And so it's important that science has now shown that there are it debunks a lot of old myths that we just didn't know in the past, and now we know so much more. Duran, one thing I wanted to bring up real quick, I don't know if you knew, but the DNR director had asked the NRC commission to ban all real urine scents in the state of Michigan at the May meeting. And I didn't know if you were aware of that. So that would ban all of our scents. And thankfully, the NRC commissioners really looked into the science and looked into the structure of it, and right now feel that would not be in the best interest to take that tool away from hunters. So they're going to continue with the new RHSA, which is the Responsible Hunting Scent Association DPP standards, which used to be the ATA. Mm-hmm. So for the last 2 years, we've been under these standards by which we collect and we manufacture and sell to the hunters. So it looks like they're going to continue with that process and add what we call the RT quick test. The RT quick test is very interesting. It takes a sample of product and it amplifies it 10,000 times and is able to detect super sensitive CWD prions within those samples if they're there. And it's way above, beyond an infection rate. And so all of the urines now that are sold through the DPP standards will have to do this test on all of their batches. And so it looks like the NRC commission, which is coming up, I believe, June 11th. So hunters have to understand if they really want to continue using scents, let the commission know that they do not want real urine scents banned in the state of Michigan. And honestly, every group was against the ban. MUCC, QDMA, the National Association, every group has been against that. So, so far we have good support to continue and move forward to use those scents, but we have to pay attention.
All right, we'll put that up on the website and on our Facebook page. And Doug, as always, thank you so much for joining us here. Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense. Also thanking our friends at Not Just Guns and United Deer Farmers of Michigan for bringing you us. We are Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.